us preparing for the kingdom of God, because that's what we're here for. And we're not here just to bide our time, to waste our time, but we're here to prepare for the kingdom of God. It's very clear in the scriptures. And I talked about three things that hinder us from getting ready for what God's going to do in the future. We have a hope. Our hope is that we're going to be in the kingdom with the Lord. He's going to have a kingdom. He's going to rule and reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. It's very clear in the scriptures. And we're to be there with him, but we're only going to rule and reign if we prepare now. There are going to be many that are going to be in the kingdom, but not going to rule and reign with Christ in the kingdom. And the thing is that any of us can. One of the things the devil tries to do is to get us to think less of ourselves than God does, and therefore we don't move then in the things of God. We just kind of shrink back and let things go by when we should be active in what God is doing. Now those three things, and I got to two of them, but I'm going to review the couple, were sin, unbelief, and disobedience. That's the problem with Christian. Sin is, you know, just, it's kind of like kids at home. There's rules. And sometimes we broke those rules. I know I did. And it wasn't a good thing. So sin is very simply breaking and distorting the rules of God for life. And, of course, we need to worship the Lord. We're not supposed to. We're looking at the Ten Commandments here in chapter 20 of Exodus. And the first thing is to worship the Lord God. Well, if you worship anything else and it occupies more of your time than anything else, then you are breaking the laws of God. And sometimes things become our gods. And we've talked about the fact that you can't take those things with you. In fact, the only thing that's going to go to be with the Lord is your spirit and soul now and your body later. And the things aren't going to go, but what you did in Christ will, of course. And then it goes down. You know, isn't it interesting, after it talks about worshiping God, the very next thing is remember the Sabbath day, and you can have a big argument about what the Sabbath day is, but we're not going to get into that. The point is, you need to be faithful to God. If you're not faithful to God, don't expect for him to be, in a sense, faithful to you to rule and reign in the kingdom of God. It's just that simple. I'm going to tell it how it is today, and I hope you'll take it in. So be faithful to God. Incidentally, there are just some people, to be honest with you, need to be in church every time the door opens. They really do, because they can't make it otherwise, and they need to retrain their thinking, and that's where you do it. And the people that just can't seem to get it together, they need to be in church every time the door opens. It's just that simple. Now, it goes on and says that honor your father and your mother. Now, what that means is we are to honor them. They may not be honorable, but we are to honor them. Find something good to honor them about. If you're complaining and about what your parents didn't do or did do, and if you're taking advantage of them, you're not honoring your father and your mother, and you're breaking that law of God. It's really not complicated. Then it goes on, thou shalt not kill. Now you can kill, talking about people here. It's not talking about animals. I remember my dad got saved. He was a hunter, and he wanted to know if that meant he shouldn't kill animals. I said, no, this has to do with human beings. Really what it says is do not murder. But you can murder people with your mouth. Are you listening? You can murder people with your actions without personally taking their life, and that is not for Christians. We're supposed to be, instead of murdering people, we're supposed to be blessing people. Are you listening to me? Now you go on, just go right down the line, thou shalt not steal. Instead of stealing and taking things that don't belong to you, you're supposed to be a giver in life. We're supposed to be givers. We're supposed to help people where that need help. We're supposed to give. instead of being takers. Some people are just plain takers in life, and they're miserable, particularly if they're Christians, you see. And don't be a taker, be a giver. And there's times you need to receive, and we certainly need to receive from God, but I'm talking about we also need to be giving out. We don't want to bear false witness, be a gossip, judge people. That's not our business. God is the judge. Amen? We get into that judging thing, you're going to be miserable. Not everybody has to agree with you on everything. I agree, they need to agree on the basic things, the cross of Calvary, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Jesus, the coming of God. Oh, you need to agree on those things basically, but you can. There's some things you don't all have to agree on, because there's going to be some people with the Lord that didn't agree here on the earth. I'll just tell you, that's the way it is. Okay, now, you just keep right on going. You don't want to covet what your neighbor has. God, we're not all the same. We're not all going to have the same stuff, and we shouldn't have all the same stuff. Being like your neighbor is ridiculous, because you're not like your neighbor. Are you listening? Let God uniquely bless you in the way He wants to bless you, and don't worry about what somebody else has or doesn't have. Now, all of these things, if you take the law of God and you do the law of God in a positive way, you'll be blessed. If you pervert the law of God, it is called sin. It's just that simple. It's not going to keep you out of heaven, but it's going to keep you out of the favor of God when you get there. Are you listening? Now, let's go on now. We'll go on to the second thing, that's unbelief. Unbelief is very simply listening to the devil and letting him tell you you're a second-class citizen or a second-class Christian and you can't be any better. I'm going to tell you that every person has a measure of faith. We just read that in the bulletin. We just said it out loud. God has given everybody a measure of faith. He's given you a measure of faith to use in this life. And if you use it properly, you'll be blessed in the kingdom of God. It's just that simple. Not everybody's the same. Not everybody has the same things and so forth. And also, another thing that happens in this unbelief is you don't feel secure, so you're just kind of reaching around all the time, spending all your energy trying to work to be secure in Christ. And I'm going to tell you, the only thing that's going to secure you in Christ is the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you got it? There's works, okay, but the works is after you get saved, not to get saved. You have to understand that. Yes, those of you who like to work and just work your head off after you get saved for God, if you want to do that. But you can't work to get saved. And this stuff, you know, has God said? The answer is, yes, God has said. If you receive Jesus Christ, you're saved, period, for eternity. Are you listening to me? Okay. Now, yes, He has said. Don't let the devil. Did God really say that? Could that be possible? You know one of the problems with the Christian life? It almost sounds too good to be true. Some people say, that can't be true that God loves me that much. That can't be true that God wants me to have this. That can't be true that God wants to take me to be with Him and live with Him forever. I'm going to tell you that's the good news. That's right. That's why it's called the good news. It's not called the bad news. It's called the good news. It's better than we deserve and expect, probably. But we need to start expecting what God says is true in the Word of God, and because all this negative stuff comes from one place, the devil. You see. Now, you can listen to who you want to, but I'm going to listen to the Word of God. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to listen to these things. So we need to get out of this unbelief, confess unbelief, and start standing on the foundation that God has given us so we can build on that so we'll be blessed in the kingdom. That's the idea, and that's what this is all about. We're in the race. We're going to be in the kingdom. It's just that simple. We are striving for what we're going to receive in the kingdom. Yes, there's something to work for. You work For what? The rewards in the kingdom. And you're going to be with God for eternity. That's the idea. Now, the next one I want to talk about, the third one, is disobedience. Disobedience will hinder your growing in the Lord. Just very simple. It's not complicated. Go to Exodus 4. We're in Exodus anyway. Go to Exodus 4. Just trying to give you an overview here. Exodus 4:14. The first thing is you have to know the Lord, and then you build on that. You help God. You work together to build on that. Now, let's go up to verse 10. Exodus 4:10. God had called Moses to go down to Egypt. Moses was down in Florida just having a good time. And God got his attention. He said, I want you to go to Egypt. That was the pit of hell in those days. And he said, I want you to go and deliver my people. And here's what he said in verse 10. Moses said, O Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither there heretofore, nor since, how thou spoken to thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who made man's mouth? I like that. And he said, Or who make the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. And he said, O Lord, send, I pray you, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. In other words, Lord, send somebody else. Now, don't you know that's going to hinder your Christian life right there. God asks you to do something, call somebody up, pray for them. God asks you to go to somebody through the hospital and pray for somebody that's sick. God asks you to do something else, and you say, Lord, send somebody else. Now, don't you know that's going to hinder what God can do in your life? It's not complicated. So we have to be obedient to God. When God speaks to you, do it. And God will speak to you if you're listening. And when he says something, you do it, then you're more than likely to get some other information from him that he can do. But if you don't do the first thing, he's not going to give you the second thing until you do the first thing. It's just that simple. Jesus had an interesting thing he said one time. There was a father that had two sons, and he told these two sons to go out into the field, and the oldest son said, Okay, I'll go, no problem. But he didn't go. The second son said, I don't think I want to go. But later he did go. Which one of them were blessed? The one that did go. He didn't go at the beginning, but he did go at the end, and so he got blessed. The one that said he was going to do it and didn't do it, he lost. That's it. Then that's the issue. So, you know, this thing about being obedient to God, I don't know. I can just tell you basically how God works. You come to Christ, and you get in the Word of God, and you be faithful to the Lord, and I'll guarantee you God will speak to you about something in your life. Everybody's always afraid, oh, my God, he might call me to preach. Oh, my goodness. How could that possibly happen? Well, more than likely he's not going to, but he's going to tell you to preach to your family. He's going to tell you to preach to your friends. He's going to tell you to preach on the job, on your time, when you can, in the right way. And there is a right way. And the issue is, God's going to tell you, you're in the ministry if you're in Christ. Some kind of a ministry, some place, somehow, whatever your circumstances are, that's your ministry, you see. And the people you have contact with, that's your ministry. And you talk to them about the Lord, you see. Now, look in Hebrews chapter 12. Well, we've looked at this before, but let's look at it again. I don't know, I don't think we can look at this too many times. Hebrews 12, verse 6. Let's see if that's right. Yeah, okay. Hebrews 12, 6. several things right in here that's really good. All right. For whom the Lord loves, say, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son and daughter whom he receives. Now that means when you get saved, God's got a little work to do. You're not ready yet. He's just getting started. He wants to change your thinking. He wants to change your direction. He wants to change some things in your life. He doesn't change everything, but he changes some things. And it says right there, once you get saved, when you become a son or a daughter of God, then he's going to begin the cleanup work and the preparation for the kingdom of God. Now, that's a process. It's a whole lifetime of process. Now, let's go on. Now, if you run from it, you're going to separate yourself from the will of God. Just that simple. Until the time comes when you say, yes, Lord, whatever you want, I surrender. Now, you can do that at 20 years old, or you can do that at 80 years old. I suggest you do it as quickly as possible. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Once you get saved, as soon as possible, say, here I am, Lord, whatever you want. Don't you believe he knows a little bit more about it than we do? Yeah, he sees the beginning from the end. He knows what's best. We only see the now, you see. He sees the whole thing. And so what I'm saying, sometime in this life, you're going to have to say, Lord, I don't care if you're 90 years old. You're going to say, Lord, I surrender whatever you want me to do now. Whatever time I have left, I will do it. That's what you have to do. Now, it's easier to do when you're older, probably it is younger, to be honest with you, but not necessarily if you love the Lord. Now, so that's what he's saying. If you separate yourself from the plan of God, then you're going to find yourself with an empty life. Now, there's people that are Christians with empty lives. They don't know where they're at. They don't know where they're going. Hopefully, they know where they came from. And they have no plan. They're just kind of bouncing around in life to whatever happens. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's not a life of obedience. Bouncing around in life to see what happens. That's not why God put us here. Now, I'm just trying to help you out here. All right. Now, here's what happens when you're disobedient from God. If you're disobedient to the plan of God for your life, you have opened the door for the enemy to bring his plan in. I'm talking to Christians. You've opened the door to bring his plan in. And his plan is to totally put you under his control so you will not listen to what God says for your life. You can end up getting involved in addictions. You can end up being one selfish person. You can be smart intellectually and be dumb in every other way. Are you listening to me? I think education's good, but it's not everything. It's more important to be faithful to God than to be educated. Did I say that? Yes, I did. It is more important. Education's important. You're going to educate your mind. But it's much more important to educate your spirit. Are you listening? You see. I don't think everybody has to go to school. A lot of millionaires never finished high school. Did you know that? Yeah, because God has put in us an ability to do a lot of things. So I wouldn't get all down because you didn't finish high school, didn't go finish college, any of that kind of stuff. My mother, I think she finished the eighth grade. I believe she did. Where she lived, if you wanted to go to high school, you had to go move to a town where they had a high school. They didn't all have high school. Wasn't like it is today. And she grew up on a farm out in the middle of nowhere, had an eighth grade education, And I don't think there was anything hardly she couldn't do. It was amazing to me. She could do just about anything. And she was at home with everybody. She at one time had lunch in the governor's mansion in the state of Missouri with the governor's wife. Now that was an interesting thing. Because she was elected the senior citizen of the state of Missouri for a certain year. So she got to have dinner with the governor's wife. I'm not sure she had an eighth grade education. Grew up out in the middle of nowhere. And that just shows you what God can do in somebody's life if they're faithful to Him. Are you listening to me? Now, there isn't anything you can't do if you're faithful to God and you've surrendered to Him. I'm talking about in His plan, not in your plan. In His plan, there isn't anything you can't do if you're obedient to God. Now, but I'm going to tell you what happens. Another thing that the enemy does is isolate people and keep them away from people, and so that they couldn't minister if they had to, you see. Just not going to happen. Another thing that happens is that Satan will see to it that things take the place of God in your life. Things take the place of God in your life. He will see to that. That's what happens when you're disobedient to God. What's going to happen when you die is one giant garage sale, if you understand what I'm saying. In fact, you see them all the time. They call them estate sales. You ever see those? You can drive down the road and see an estate sale. I'm going to tell you, if they have an estate, they accomplish a bunch of stuff, which meant absolutely nothing when they died. I'm not against having things. I'm not against having new cars. I'm not against having money. I'm not against any of that stuff. And neither is Jesus. And I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus was not broke. Are you listening to me? We get this idea he was just destitute out there. Oh, God, where am I going to get my next meal? It wasn't that way. He had money to tell him to go in town and buy food for the whole bunch. I mean, come on. We just take things out of the Word of God and just go crazy with them. You know what the main problem is? The reason that happens is we're not surrendered to God for now. I need to be surrendered to God for my time and my life right now. I need to surrender at this point in stage in my life. I need to be surrendered to God. 10 years from now, if the Lord hadn't come, I need to be surrendered for that time in my life and do what God wants me to do. Anybody can do anything if they're in their right mind and can eat and breathe. Are you listening to me? You can serve God in some way. And some people don't want to serve God. They just want to argue about everything. But do what God's called you to do. And so what you have to do, God says, go out and multiply. That's hard to do unless you're around somebody else. That's very difficult, you see. And God said in the first place, go out, multiply, fill the earth. He's talking about with godly people, you see. Now, if you refuse to be with God's people and you don't want to be in the Word of God on a daily basis, then you're probably not going to follow Him. And that's the issue. There's a prayer here. Father, I have disobeyed Your Word and Your plan for my life. I repent, turn back to serving You alone. Forgive me this sin. Place it on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am Your servant from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you've already done this, but let's just all say it together, and that'll just kind of take in anybody that has been disobedient, okay? Let's say it together. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I have disobeyed Your Word and Your plan for my life. I repent, turn back to serving You. Forgive me this sin. Place it on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am your servant from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that means you can be pleasing to God from this day till the rest of your life on this earth as it is now. However long that is, you got to start someplace. You see, if you don't start any place, you end up dying and you didn't do any of it, you see. Well, maybe you got 5 years to do it. Maybe you got 5 days. I don't have any idea. But the issue is that you can do whatever time you have left, you can serve the Lord. That doesn't mean you drop all your daily activities. It means you surrender to Him for what He wants you to do. Now, that'll hinder you from serving God. Now I'm going to talk about what'll help you to serve God. And that's two things in the Bible, very simply this. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. There's a lot of people who love God and hate everybody around them. You know, can't stand people, you know. They did me wrong back there in 1942. Who cares? God doesn't. I'll guarantee you. The only thing it'll do is weigh you down. It'll hold you down, wear you out. Think about something that happened back in 42 or whenever it was. I may be a little too far back there. Let's try 82. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying. Now, I'm not speaking to anybody. I'm preaching to myself today. So don't take it personally unless God has you do it. Okay, Matthew 22:37. We're going to keep on moving. Matthew 22:37. All right, here we go. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." I said all the law and the prophets. Let's say it together. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Okay, in other words, you do those two things, everything else is going to fit in those two categories right there. Either loving God or loving people. All right? Now, go to 1 John, not John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Now, people read this, they say, "Oh my goodness, this is awful. How could God put this in here?" But here's what it says. If a man says, "I love God," and hates his brother, or gossips about his brother, or judges his brother, or ignores his brother, or doesn't love his brother, he's a liar. I added a few things. And he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he's not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. So, if we don't love people, in some way, there's something you can find to love about everybody. Just about. Now, there may be a few exceptions. But the issue is, we need to start loving people. This is a command of God. It's not an elective. It is a requirement. Command of God. We are called to love everybody unconditionally. Now let me tell you something here. There was a bunch of tax collectors back in the day of Jesus, and they would sit at the city gate, And if somebody wanted to come into the city through the gate and hadn't paid their taxes, say the person wanted to come in and go to church or wanted to worship God, they wouldn't let them in the gate because they hadn't paid their taxes. They wouldn't let them inside, wouldn't let them go to church, wouldn't let them do any of that stuff. Well, there's sometimes that people owe us something, whether it's something they said, something they did, or it might be money, and we don't let them pass the wall of our heart because they haven't paid us what we think they owe. We got to give it up. We're no different than the tax collectors, Jesus said. Are you listening? We're no different than the tax collectors. If we're going to judge everybody in sight and not love people. Now, just that simple. If you only love those that love you, Jesus said, you're no different than the tax collectors. Now, we have a tendency to be real comfortable around people who love us and agree with us on everything. But we love people that don't agree necessarily. Maybe even rub us the wrong way a little bit. God says, be freed from that judgment and condemnation because he forgives us with the same measure that we forgive somebody else. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about this life. It says, God forgives us with the same measure we forgive somebody else. Whoa, it got quiet in here. Wow. Well, that's what he says. If there's anyone in your life you've been holding anything against, let them go and set yourself free because you get in bondage when you judge somebody else. We're not in the judging business, period. Matthew 22:37. Matthew 22:37. I'm going to get in as much as I can this morning. Yeah. Matthew 22, verse 37. We just read it. Let's go back to it again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first commandment. Second's like it. Love your neighbors yourself. Now, if you're not doing that, you're not going to grow in the Lord. Period. You'll get a bunch of information, but it won't affect your life. Now, I'm not saying love abuse. I'm not talking about that. I don't expect anybody to stand and be abused. Sometimes you have to love some people from a distance. But the point is, you don't judge them all the time. You love them in the Lord. Maybe you can't be with them because they're abusive or whatever it is. But the issue is, God said you have to love them because I'm here to tell you, God loves everybody. He doesn't necessarily love what they do, but he loves them. Everybody. In prison, out of prison, in the Middle East, wherever they are. God loves everybody. I didn't say that he condones what they do. I said he loves everybody. And now, there are a lot of Christians that they are disobedient in the third thing. And the third thing is, let me tell you, the first one, love God. Second one, love man. Third one, love who? Yourself. Now, you love yourself as a creation of God. Now, let me tell you something about this, because I know I'm talking to some folks here. I don't have anybody in mind, but I just know that in any group, there's always people like this. Christians often do not hate themselves, don't love themselves, and a lot of times they hate themselves. Hello, now, I'm going to tell you, you're disobedient to God. Now, let's talk about this a little bit. Self-hatred will eventually affect all of your relationships. It'll affect every relationship you have. That's right. self-hatred, including with the Lord. Now listen to this. Also may affect your health. Also may affect your health. Now I'm going to tell you how. Because this is important. And Satan loves to get Christians not to love themselves. He does it a lot of different ways. One of the ways he does is look in your past and see all the bad stuff you did. If that was true, if I let my past bother me, I'd have committed suicide 10 years ago. Because it was a mess. And if I spend the rest of my life thinking about and dwelling on my past, I would do absolutely nothing for God, and I'd probably be dead by now. I'm just telling you the facts. Because God's not looking back there. The only one looking back there is the devil to dredge up something to throw on you today to mess you up. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to be proud of it, but we confess that sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins forever and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we need to confess that past stuff, let God cleanse us, make restitution where necessary, and move on in your Christian life free to do the things of God. Anything else is disobedience to the plan of God. Now, how can it bother your health? Well, I will tell you right now, if you look in the mirror in the morning, every morning, and you say, I hate myself, you're going to get sick. You are cursing your own person. You are cursing your body. You are putting a curse. It'd be just as bad as the devil saying it. Because God said, death and life are in the power of the what? Tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can curse your own life by saying, I don't like what God made. I'm going to tell you right now, you are beautiful in the sight of God. Because he made you. Okay? He made you. You may not look, and then if that doesn't work, the devil will get you to compare yourself with your sister, brother, or somebody else that's more beautiful, has more wealth, has more of something, and get you to compare yourself, and that also will bring detriment to your health and your being and your life. God made you who you are. You can, and when you surrender to him and are doing what he wants to do, as far as God's concerned, you're the most beautiful person there is. Are you listening to me? You see. Now, there's a few things you can change a little bit. You can put a little makeup on. Yeah, a little paint on the barn. That won't hurt anything. God doesn't mind. If there's something you can do to enhance things a little bit, so be it. But you know, and I think an interesting day, one reason I think people aren't kind of hate themselves today, because we've learned to dress about as bad as we can, just so if we come out of the house, we won't be arrested. Really? I remember, I shouldn't tell this. I remember one time, this lady and her husband were having trouble. They were having trouble in their marriage. And she was a young girl, but she wasn't particularly overweight or anything, but she always wore these big sweatshirts that were three times bigger than she was. That's all she ever wore. And she came to me for marriage counseling. And I thought to myself, I thought to myself, if that's all I have to look at every day, I think I'd have a little problem myself.
Oh, no.
You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong looking the best you can and without being ridiculous about it and, you know, that kind of thing. But my goodness, we can help ourselves a little bit. Grace told me one time that she was playing with her brother and he swung his arm, broke her nose, and her nose was over here. And it was that way for a long time, right?
Till
she was 38 years old, and then she had some surgery and got her nose straightened out. Now, I agree. See, sometimes there's nothing wrong with something like that. If you need a little help somewhere, within reason. But the issue is, you were created by God. God looks at the heart. God doesn't look always at the outside. And the issue is you were made specially for God for a special time, for a special mission in His world, in this life. And so I'm going to tell you, God's never looked at one of His kids and say, you're ugly. God has never done that. Not ever, ever, ever has God done that. In fact, just the opposite. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And to, they were all beautiful to God. And you're all beautiful to God today. You are much more beautiful than you could imagine. And God sees you because He sees your spirit. He sees your spirit being. And I believe in heaven that what our spirit is like is what we're going to be like. And I think that's in looks and everything. But the point is, with your mouth and what you say about yourself, oh, I can never do this, I can never do this, guess what? You're never going to do this. Instead of saying, I'll try anything, hallelujah. I've learned there's a lot of things I don't like to do, but somebody asked me to do them, I'm going to say, well, I'm going to do my best, Lord, help me. You know what I mean? And that's what we have to do. We have to encourage ourselves. Our speech encourages ourselves. And if you're constantly putting yourself down, if you're constantly repeating something that somebody doesn't like you said, then you're going to build up what they said about you because you're saying the same thing. Your ears hear what you say, goes down into your heart, and you become what you say.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to talk about this probably next time. But you become what you say. Now, you can't speak the things of the devil to yourself and expect to do the works of God. It's impossible. And I'm going to tell you that most of the women on the magazines, girls, that you see at the checkout counter don't look like those pictures. They can enhance that stuff. You look them out there. If you see them in HD on TV, you'd say, who in the heck is that? You really would. Most of these movie stars, when they haven't been through hours of makeup and hours of this and hours of something else, they look just as ordinary as anybody else. And what the devil does, he puts all that stuff right out where you look at it every time. You can't go in a store without looking at that stuff. And it just to so you'll compare yourself to that and think less of yourself. And when you do that, you're not going to do the things of God. And you have to look at yourself what God says. It says God is love, and God loved the world so much. Here's how lovely He thought you were. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for you. That's how beautiful you are. That's how beautiful you are. I've seen some of the most beautiful people I've known that weren't necessarily beautiful on the outside, but I'll tell you, they were on the inside. And that's what God looks at. And we're never to compare ourselves with somebody else. That's the biggest mistake you'll ever make in your life. Now, don't believe lies. It's the lies of the devil. Don't believe what the devil says about you. Don't believe what anybody else says about you. Believe what God says about you. You see. I hope I'm helping somebody today. Now, I'll tell you when people start doing that is when they start doing things contrary to what God wants them to do, then the next thing is automatically start putting yourself down. It just goes with the territory. If you know you're not obedient to God, it's automatic we'll start putting ourselves down. Now, real quick. Now, this can, or you sin or make a mistake or do something, and you'll start putting yourself down, and then it's just you're in that trap, and you're going to be caught in it forever. Now, maybe you grew up in an ungodly household. They were fighting all the time, and it was just mass confusion and everything else, so you grew up doing the same thing. Now's the time to surrender to God and surrender that to the Lord. There isn't anybody that can't start being beautiful before God and man in the next 5 minutes if they give themselves to Him totally. Amen. Now, maybe you were abused, seriously, terribly abused. If you don't forgive your abuser, they don't deserve it. I know it. Doesn't make any difference. It'll put you in bondage for the rest of your life. That's all you'll think about when you get up and when you go to bed. And you'll be in bondage to it. Now, there's always things wrong in life. Everybody's gone through things. Everybody's been abused in some way or another at one time or another. But you have to forgive the abuser, start loving God, and start loving yourself, and your life will change. I'm going to tell you, it'll change right now, today. All right. The answer? The cross of Jesus Christ. It's the answer to everything. Yeah. The way you change from hating yourself to loving yourself is to repent before the Lord. Hating yourself is a sin. I'm not talking about you might hate something you do. I'm talking about yourself. Hating yourself is a sin, and it'll be used by the devil. Now, repentance means to change, turn, go the other way, do the best you can with what you have, make it look as nice as you can, and step out with your head high in Jesus Christ and start living your life. Are you listening to me? I say, are you listening to me?
Yes.
Okay, now, almost done. No longer act contrary to who you are in Jesus Christ. Start living what Christ is in you. That makes you the most beautiful person in the world. Let's stand before the Lord.